Jesus, she breathed out. She had done some crazy things for Frank, but this was over the top. When, where, what? Leaving tonight, D.C. to St. Louis, a converted tour bus. Tour bus? How many of them are going? Two passengers, one human, one whatever. Will you do it? She looked into the immaculate condo living room where her brother Blake and his husband Jeff were playing a noisy, fast-paced video game, oblivious to her conversation. She had promised to be at Blake's concert tomorrow. It meant a lot to him. Just a second, she said to Frank. I can't wait, he said. 2 seconds. She muted the phone and walked into the living room. Blake saw her expression and paused the game. She said, Would you hate me if I couldn't be there tomorrow? Disappointment, resignation, and wry acceptance crossed his face, as if he hadn't ever really expected her to keep her promise. What is it? He asked. A job, she said. A really important job. Never mind, I'll turn it down. No, Ave, don't worry. There will be other concerts. Still, she hesitated. You sure? She said. She and Blake had always hung together, like castaways on a hostile sea. They had given each other courage to sail into the wind. To disappoint him felt disloyal. Go ahead, he said. Now I'll be sorry if you stay. She thumbed the phone on. Okay, Frank, I'll do it. This better not get me in trouble. Cross my heart and hope to die, he said. I'll email you instructions. Bye. From the couch, Jeff said, Now I know why you want to do it, because it's likely to get you in trouble. No, he gave me his word, Avery said. Cowboy Frank? The one who had you drive guns to Nicaragua? That was perfectly legal, Avery said. Jeff had a point, as usual. Specialty shipping did the jobs no reputable company would handle. Ergo, so did Avery. What is it this time? Blake asked. I can't say. The email had come through. Frank had attached the instructions as if a PDF were more secure than email. She opened and scanned them. The job had been cleared by the government, but the client was the alien passenger, and she was to take orders only from him, within the law. She scanned the rest of the instructions till she saw the pickup time. Damn, I've got to get going, she said. Her brother followed her into the guest room to watch her pack up. He had never understood her nomadic lifestyle, which made his silent support for it all the more generous. She was compelled to wander. He was rooted in this home, this relationship, this warm, supportive community. She was a discarder, using things up and throwing them away. He had created a home that was a visual expression of himself, from the spare Japanese-style furniture to the Zen colors on the walls. Visiting him was like living inside a beautiful soul. She had no idea how they could have grown up so different. It was as if they were foundlings. She pulled on her boots and shouldered her backpack. Blake hugged her. Have a good trip, he said. Call me. Will do, she said, and hit the road again. The media had called the dome in Rock Creek Park the mothership, but only because of its proximity to the White House. Not because it was in any way distinctive. Like the others, it had appeared overnight, sited on a broad, grassy clearing that had been a secluded picnic ground in the urban park. It filled the entire Creek Valley, cutting off the trails and greatly inconveniencing the joggers and bikers. Avery was unprepared for its scale. Like most people, she had seen the domes only on TV. And the small screen did not do justice to the neck-craning reality. She leaned forward over the wheel and peered out.